This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. On today's program, David Phillips with Environment Canada gives us a bit of an idea of how spring will unfold in the coming weeks, and Kevin Hirsch with SaskAgToday.com shared his thoughts on yesterday's carbon tax hike. His comments came from the SaskAgToday.com roundtable. The farm weather with Phil Spivak is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first following the break is a bit of my chat with David Phillips on how this spring is going to unfold.
This is SaskAg Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
SaskAg Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. Spring this year is shaping up to be one where it will take its time to fully arrive, as opposed to rushing in. David Phillips with Environment Canada says this month will have warmer than normal temperatures, but left some room for the possibility that we could get one more dump of snow at the end of April. He says one thing we won't have to worry about is flooding.
I think we can get the warm-up. I think certainly farmers and ranchers are going to be able to get onto the fields, and as long as the soil begins to warm up, the ground really isn't as frozen as it would be in other years. There's not snow sitting on the ground necessarily to melt. We see some parts of the province, in Yorkton, for example, there's 14 centimeters of snow in the ground. Up in Saskatoon, about 9 centimeters. But in southern parts, Kindersley, about 3. So it's not a huge amount, and so certainly in some years you're with that, and you've got to get rid of that. And if it gets rid of it too fast, that's why I always think a slow motion coming of the seasons is always the best for the most.
May and June will be the most important months for precipitation.
That May-June period. June is the wettest month on average, and it comes from the fact that the jet stream is changing its position from a winter location to summer, and as it moves across the prairies, it often brings widespread precipitation, and that would be gold for farmers and ranchers because of the situation we find ourselves right now.
Last year was drier than normal in Saskatchewan. Phillips was asked if what we've experienced is, in a phrase, a new normal.
Well, that's a very good question, and I think it's important to address that. What we have seen, no question, one year does not a trend make. You can't sort of take one year, one winter, one summer of last year and say, okay, that's going to be what the situation is this year. For example, we know that next winter will not be this winter plus one. It doesn't work that way. We know that our climate is quite variable. It's up and down. We can have drought years and flood years and that thing. But if you take a look at what we've seen in recent years, and I'm going back over several years, maybe a couple of decades, there's clearly what is evident in Canada, as it is around the world, that our climate has changed. We are seeing warmer seasons. It wouldn't be something you could feel if you went outside, but it's often just minuscule. I mean, a fraction changes. But no question about it, if you squint at the trends, you see it upward and outward. And we have seen, for example, particularly in our winters in Canada, our winters aren't what they used to be. Old timers are right when they say, you know, the winters have changed, and they clearly are. They're maybe not as long, they're not as frightfully cold, and precipitation-wide, we seem to get maybe in some cases a little bit less precipitation than we used to.
Phillips went on to say that farmers and ranchers are well aware of the changes in climate and are adapting.
And it's amazing how much we can do with the precipitation that we get now. If we got this precipitation from we're getting less precipitation times now than we did during the dirty 30s when farms were abandoned, where farming practices were totally different than they are now. But because of the science, because of the education of farmers, the risks that they're willing to take, farming is always going to be a challenge. But my gosh, when you think of the challenges they're faced with tariffs and taxes and weather, which has always been an issue, it's remarkable how well farmers and food producers do.
David Phillips is a senior climatologist with Environment and Climate Change Canada. Coming up next on Sask Ag Today, the federal carbon tax increased the other day, and of course that drew a lot of reaction, protests around the Saskatchewan-Alberta border and elsewhere, and a lot of people sharing their opinions about it, including Kevin Hirsch with SaskAgToday.com. He spoke on the tax on the Friday's most recent roundtable ahead of the hike. We'll hear those comments right after the break.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance, crop insurance at cost. See municipalhail.ca. During the SaskAgToday.com roundtable on Friday, Kevin Hirsch commented on the carbon tax hike, which happened yesterday.
Well, it's the whole carbon tax issue is a very hot potato politically between the provincial and federal governments, and the whole opposition move in Ottawa to spike the hike and then axe the tax, I believe is resonating with a lot of Canadians, but there's a lot of debate back and forth on how much rebates people receive versus how much they pay and whether the carbon tax is effective. But I don't believe that we'll the April 1st increase will be the end of this. It's going to carry on right through into the federal election whenever that happens, even if it's well into 2025.
And Hirsch says Canada's greenhouse gas emissions pale in comparison to countries like China, India, and Russia.
I think most people can support the idea of trying to reduce our emissions within reason, but Canada, as I understand it, accounts for only 1.5 or 1.6% of global emissions. So what we do here really doesn't have a big impact on the world total emissions. And it's like having a swimming pool with a no-P zone. It doesn't really work because we're all in the same atmosphere here. So yes, we should be doing what we can within reason to reduce emissions and cut fossil fuel use. And I believe there's things we can do in that regard, but I don't think we need to wreck our economy because what China or India or Russia does or doesn't do with regards to emissions dwarfs our efforts. So I also really wonder how effective the carbon tax is in reducing emissions, and you get varying reports on that, but I don't think it's the most efficient way to go about it to start with. But again, just my opinion.
Kevin Hirsch is the chief agricultural editor for SaskAgToday.com. Coming up next, following our next break, is AgriView with Doug Faulkner, followed by Farm Precision Weather with Phil Spivak. Looking ahead to that forecast, it looks like we'll have double-digit temperatures. Question is, will they stay forecasted as we get closer to said days? We'll find out right after the break. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Now today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94. It's brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
A human case of avian influenza has been confirmed in a person who had contact with dairy cows presumed to be infected with the virus. It's the second case of the H5N1 strain of avian influenza identified in a person in the United States. The CDC says this infection does not change the H5N1 bird flu human health risk assessment for the U.S. general public, which it considers to be low. The health agency said people who are exposed to infected birds or animals or to environments contaminated by them are at greater risk of infection. The patient's only symptom was eye inflammation. Cases of avian influenza in dairy cattle have been confirmed in Michigan and Idaho, along with initial cases in Kansas, Texas, and New Mexico. In the midst of dryness in western Canada and an organics market stuck in a standstill, organic growers are making decisions on what to plant in the coming weeks. Chances are they may be dictated by their own rotations. Kelly Cornelius, a grain procurement specialist for grain millers in Yorkton, says commodities in general have traded sideways to slightly lower over the last year, 2.5 years. He expects to see a bit of a bump in pea production, but he doesn't expect to lose oat acres. He adds that conditions are dry in Saskatchewan, especially in the western half of the province. However, major snowfalls over the course of the winter have helped to replenish moisture levels in the southeast. CN and CPKC Rail supplied a combined 60% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 34, a notable deterioration from the 70% order fulfillment performance seen in Week 33. CN saw a significant decline in performance, while CPKC saw modest deterioration as compared to the prior week. In supplying 63% of cars ordered by shippers in Week 34, CN saw performance decline from the 77% order fulfillment performance seen in Week 33. CN performance remains below the 90% performance threshold for the 12th consecutive week. CPKC performance declined slightly from the prior week, with the railway supplying 58% of shipper orders in Week 34, as compared to 65% in the prior week. CPKC performance remains below the 90% threshold for the 10th consecutive week. Empire Company Limited Chief Executive Michael Medline says there's no evidence that a grocery code of conduct would raise food prices for Canadians. The president and CEO of Sobeys parent company made the comment at a Retail Council of Canada event in Toronto today. Medline says he wouldn't support a grocery code of conduct for his industry if he thought it would make retail prices higher. Last fall, Loblaw and Walmart said they wouldn't sign the code as currently drafted, stalling progress as the code neared completion. Proponents of the code say it will help level the playing field for suppliers and small grocery retailers, but Loblaw and Walmart have said they are concerned it would raise food prices for Canadians. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, looking at the forecast for today and for the next few days, it's double digits. And the big question is that going to be here to stay for good?
The double digits are not necessarily going to be here, but it looks like the warmer air, or at least the absence of cold, is. And I'm careful about the wording because I like to use the term warmer when it's actually warmer than normal, and there is some normalcy in the forecast. But by the same token, normalcy this time of year, at least by the time we get into the weekend of next week, is double digits. So we have that going where we should be at or above normal now through mid-month. And typically once we get to mid-April, it's almost clear sailing from there. So I never like to say winter's over, but I think we're in good shape for a while here. Mostly sunny sky around 10 degrees this afternoon. The wind is variable. It'll settle into more of a northwesterly direction, then back into the east and southeast by tonight. Partly cloudy sky will drop off to zero. And tomorrow, the wind will pick up. It's not too strong tonight or today even. Today, in fact, it's pretty light. But tomorrow, much gustier breeze, 20 to 40 sustained. Could be gusts upwards of 50 as that warmer air pushes in. The high tomorrow gets up to around 19. So certainly above normal tomorrow. And we can, I think, safely call that warm. watching the rest of the week, it looks like we do stay in those above normal temperatures. There's a very narrow but strong ridge of high pressure, which is building and getting that warmer air into place. It's not getting over a whole lot of Canada, but it's getting to us. And that's the important part. 18 degrees on Thursday, a partly sunny sky. Still 20 breezy. Wednesday night and Thursday, a little bit of a drop off at night of the wind. Picks back up through the day Thursday. Partly sunny, 17 on Friday. And there's the 15 on Saturday. That is a downtrend. And that's not just light variability. That is actually the ridge backing down to the point where we may back out of double digits into the early part of the week, possibly Sunday, more likely Monday, but then we get right back in. So that's why I think we're in pretty good shape through next week as well with the warmer temperatures.
Thank you very much, Phil. Normal highs for this time of year, 8 degrees, the lows minus 5. Sun rose in Regina at 6:31 this morning, and the sun will set at 7:34 tonight. Taking a look around the province, in Assiniboia, 9 degrees. Estevan, Moosomin, Saskatoon, they're at 7. Swift Current, 12. Yorkton and Melville, 3 degrees. Weyburn is at 8. The hot spot in the province is in Maple Creek at 14.2, and the cold spot in Stony Rapids at around 0.5 degrees. In Regina, it's mainly sunny, southwest wind at 9 kilometers an hour, humidity at 51%, temperature 7 degrees or 44 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 102.1 and rising. In Moose Jaw, also mainly sunny, southwest wind at 13 kilometers an hour, temperature's a bit warmer at 10 degrees. Again in Regina, mainly sunny, southwest wind at 9, temperature 7 degrees. Back in a moment.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to SaskAg Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. Like peas, Canada has become increasingly reliant on China as the main export destination for malting barley. The industry wants to see the customer list expand to Mexico and various countries in Central and South America. Peter Watts is the managing director of the Canadian Malting Barley Technical Center in Winnipeg.
China's our number one market by far for malting barley. So in 2022-23, 75 to 80% of Canadian malting barley exports went to China. The U.S. would be the second largest market. Probably 10-15% of malt barley exports went to the U.S. and then a little bit to other markets like Japan, for example.
Do we have a lot of competition in that Chinese market for malting barley? Other countries selling into that market because it's very large?
Yeah, it's the world's largest market. China's 60% or 65% of all global malting barley trade. They're buying 3 to 3.5 million tons annually. Lots of competition in that market from the major suppliers, which include Australia, France, Argentina, Canada. We're the four major suppliers. Australia was essentially sidelined from that market after high tariffs were placed in the spring of 2020. So for about almost 3 years, or just over 3 years, Canada had was very competitive into the Chinese market with the absence of Australia. But in the summer of 2023, the tariffs were lifted, so the competition has ramped back up again.
And the Australians have the advantage just by geography?
They're a little closer, freight rates are a little bit lower. Lower cost to get the malt barley into a port position in Australia because producers tend to be, you know, within a 300-400 kilometers of the coastline. So they're definitely a very competitive country when it comes to malt barley.
Getting back to barley production here in Canada, the feed market has been doing fairly well lately. I know there's competition from U.S. corn for that feed market. How does that impact malting barley?
Well, it has a big impact because essentially our export markets are competing with the domestic feeding sector. Malt barley can be used as feed as well, so that provides a price floor. And ever since really the drought of 2021, the supply of feed grain in Western Canada has been relatively tight. Prices have been high. So our export markets have been competing with that domestic market. So it has a big impact on the price of malt barley. And what we've seen now in the past 4 or 5 months is fairly decent supply of feed grain from the 2023 harvest in Western Canada and imports of corn from the U.S. and a drop in export demand has conspired to push prices lower. So that's why we've seen a pretty substantial drop in feed barley values over the past, 4 to 5 months.
Most farmers grow malting barley under contract?
No, I mean, it depends. Lots would grow it without a contract. It depends a little on where you're growing it and what you choose to grow. A variety like Synergy or Copeland, they don't really need to be contracted in order to market it effectively. Some of the newer varieties, preferable to have a contract. But again, depends a little bit where the producer's growing. If you're close to an opportunity to sell for feed, you might choose not to have a contract, keep your options open. Naturally, if you're close to a malting facility, you probably may as well get a contract.
Yeah. How much of a premium do farmers expect for malting barley? I know that's kind of a difficult question to ask, but there's definitely an expectation of a premium if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, I think maybe that perspective has changed a little bit over the past 3 or 4 years, just with the high prices we've seen. Producers were probably regularly getting somewhere around $1.50 a bushel premium for a couple of years there for malt barley. You know, historically, if we go back a few years, that premium was probably between 50 cents and a dollar. But I think most producers would want to see a dollar a bushel premium for malt barley in order to make it worthwhile for them to target malt.
Peter Watts is the managing director of the Canadian Malting Barley Technical Center in Winnipeg. More on developing new malting barley markets right after the break. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumber yard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. We are back with Peter Watts, the managing director of the Canadian Malting Barley Technical Center in Winnipeg.
Certainly, the re-entry of Australia into the Chinese market is one of the big stories, and it's going to be a game changer for Canada here going forward, back to where we were pre-2020 in terms of competing into that market. And it also means that we need to explore other market opportunities for Canadian malting barley. Markets like Mexico, other Latin American markets like Colombia, Peru, and Ecuador all present big opportunities for Canada. But we need to get our varieties accepted into those markets. We talk about brewers being kind of the gatekeeper of new varieties. So it's been a few years since we've sold into South America. We've never really had a solid export program to Mexico. So we've got to work with the maltsters and brewers in those countries to get our Canadian malt barley varieties accepted so we can start selling there.
What are those Mexican and South American, Central American brewing companies, what are they using right now?
They would be importing from Australia, France, and Argentina, the other major suppliers.
When you go there, how would you promote Canada as being better than those other three options?
Just the same way we would when we go to China. Canadian malting barley, very high quality. We've got great varieties. They process well. They've got that higher protein content and high enzyme content. So we have a premium product, but as I said, every variety process is a little bit different and has different end-use quality characteristics. So the end users need to get used to those different processing parameters, different quality characteristics, and how that impacts on their finished products. And they'll want to do some pretty comprehensive testing before they do that. So that's our challenge, is getting them the data, samples, and getting those varieties accepted.
Once again, that's Peter Watts, the managing director of the Canadian Malting Barley Technical Center based in Winnipeg. Up next is the market update. We'll have a look at how grain prices at Viterra were doing in early trading today. A bit mixed, I'll say. Keep it tuned here to 620 CKRM. Sask Ag Today will return right after these messages.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices at Viterra were mixed in early trading today. Canola is up $7.90 to $6.09.52 a metric ton. Number one red spring wheat is down 18 cents to $2.95.72. And the rest were unchanged. Durum, $3.87.37. Feed barley, $2.27.58. Chickpeas, $9.92.08. Flax, $6.29.54. Lentils, $7.21.50. Oats, $2.65.32. Yellow peas, $4.74.72. And feed wheat, $2.33.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is down 7.25 cents to $6.27.5 a bushel. Up next is the Livestock Report.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of April 2nd. Our last regular sale was on March 27th. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.60 to $1.83. D3 cows sold from $1.30 to $1.60. Canner cows sold from $1 to $1.30. Heiferette sold from $2.20 to $2.50. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.70 to $1.85. Our last pre-sorted calf sale was on March 25th. 300 to 400 pound steers averaged $4.53 and sold at the $5.04. 400 to 450 pound steers averaged $4.90 and sold at the $5.04. 450 to 500 pound steers averaged $4.68 and sold at the $5.04. 500 to 550 pound steers averaged $4.28 and sold at the $4.72. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $4.02 and sold at the $4.44. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $3.79 and sold at the $4.24. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $3.73 and sold up to $4.07. 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $3.46 and sold up to $3.91. 800 to 900 pound steers averaged $3.28 and sold up to $3.58. And steers over 900 pounds averaged $2.91 and sold up to $3.16. Heifers were about 35 to 50 cents back from the steers. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
And here are the latest pork prices. They're at $204.57 per CKG, down about 9 cents from yesterday's price. Last but definitely not least is the resource report to wrap things up. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
The federal government is being asked by airlines and shippers to beef up funding for system updates and infrastructure projects aimed at reducing carbon emissions. The National Airlines Council of Canada and Chamber of Marine Commerce say incentive programs, loans, and grants are essential and would help to keep Canadian transport companies at pace with those in other countries. They're also asking for more money to help with broader infrastructure improvement projects in an effort to partly keep up with the $1.2 trillion in funding that U.S. President Joe Biden unleashed with his infrastructure bill back in 2021. A tugboat pushing a fuel barge has become the first vessel to use an alternate channel to bypass the wreckage of Baltimore's collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. The disaster had blocked traffic along the vital port's main shipping channel. Officials say the barge supplying jet fuel to the Department of Defense left late Monday and was destined for Delaware's Dover Air Force Base. Some barges and tugs that have been stuck in the port of Baltimore since the collapse are also scheduled to pass through the channel. Officials say they're working on a second channel that will allow for deeper draft vessels, but didn't say when that might open. On the markets, the TSX is down 141 points at 22,043. The Dow is down 446 points to 39,120. Oil is up 86 cents at $84.57 per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is at 73.70 cents US. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. The podcast is available at SaskAgToday.com and at 620CKRM.com. And that's going to do it for Tuesday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.